Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk. And today we have a very special guest. He's a producer, a very famous producer for Law & Order. And now he's producing Gifted Man, a new TV series. And he's written a new book called Kill Switch with Jonathan Green. You're both former executives of Law & Order. Hello, by the way.
Hi, how are you?
It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you very much.
I really got into this book. It was different than I thought it was going to be. When I first started reading it, I thought, oh, I've read books like this before. And then I suddenly realized, wait a minute, it's not what I thought.
Not going where you thought.
No, it's you're very tricky in the way you did that. Was that intentional?
Of course. Yeah. Well, we didn't do Law & Order Special Victims Unit for 11 years for nothing.
Right.
We learned a lot of, we learned how to do the twists and turns, I hope, that seem satisfying and not just out of the blue, but that makes sense.
Yeah, and then with Claire, of course, Claire Waters is the main character. I found by the end of the book I really missed her. I'm like, I can't wait to see her again. You know, I feel like it's funny when you get done, you think, oh, I need to have more of Claire. You know,
she'll be back. We're doing three books.
Oh, you are going to do three books?
Yeah, we have a deal for three books, so we're in the middle of writing book two.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, Kill Switch, yeah. I was thinking about this in the car this morning, and I thought, I wonder what he meant by Kill Switch. Is it...
Right.
It could mean one of two things. I mean, there's a couple different meanings. I don't know if we really should talk about too much what the meaning really is.
Right.
Because it might give something away.
Right. Well, the Kill Switch button is the button you push to stop something bad from happening, certainly.
Ah.
And that's when you hit the Kill Switch. But... there are kill switches in biology that do things in cells that stop bad things from happening, and there is the word switch. So there could be switches. You know, it is a thriller, so it does have twists and turns and many switches, I think. So originally it was called Blindsided, but when the movie came out, The Blind Side, we said, I guess not. So actually, I like the title Kill Switch better. So it was like, I think it's a good thing that The Blind Side came out.
It's getting a lot of buzz on the internet, too, because I've seen things about it. And of course, I got an email saying, you know, about the book coming out. But when reading the book, I mean, I really got into it. I mean, it's really one of these books it's a great book to read, like, late at night when you're in bed and you just... And all of a sudden, you just realize it's so good. The story is just so good. You know, it's just
thanks.
It's just
well, we've heard that. People told us that one person told us they called in sick to work to finish it.
Oh, really?
We don't recommend doing that, but we were pleased to hear that.
So you're executive producer now. You're doing, Gifted Man is your new series.
Yes, so, on CBS.
And congratulations on that. It's going real well. I guess they picked it up for the whole season by now, right?
It's going to run until March, and we're going to switch times February 17th to 9 p.m. So we're happy about that, because at 8 o'clock on Friday is a difficult time for a drama, and we think 9 o'clock is a better time for the show. So
That's interesting.
We're very happy that we're moving. We have one more on at 8 o'clock this Friday, and then we move to 9 o'clock.
Well, and let me ask you that question why we're talking about that, because I'm always curious. When we see an episode, like we'll see one this Friday,
right.
How long ago have you filmed it? I mean, are we talking months ago? I mean, is there months of a gap between when you film it and when they actually show it on TV?
It depends where one is in the season. So early episodes in a season, say shows that are on in September, October,
right.
were typically shot in July. And then time starts to catch up with you, because most broadcast network shows and cable shows, too, are shot in 8 days, and they prep for 7 days. So it's a 15-day total to make the show physically. Then you have to edit it after it's shot. So right now we're shooting an episode that will be on March 2nd. So we're about, 3 weeks ahead.
Wow, that's not very. That's very, not very far. I like a show that's topical. I like a show that mentions things that are going on at that time. I always like to think, you know, something to be new.
We did that on SVU a lot, because we were always, shooting pretty close to air date, and you know, a lot of people said that SVU ripped from the headlines, but that was more Law and Order. I did SVU for 11 years, starting in 2000 until last spring, and we said that. SV, that the headlines were ripped from our show, because we didn't look at on the front pages for stories. We looked deep in the back of the newspaper in journal articles, or we talked to opinion leaders to find out what they were thinking about. So often some of the stories that we would do would appear on our show, and then in reality several weeks later, and it was really kind of eerie, but it did happen.
Now, did you write any of the shows yourself?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How does one go about writing a TV show nowadays? I mean, it seems like there's a lot involved. I mean, there's so many intricacies of a show like that. I mean, you know, the character, what they're going to say, who's going to say what to who, and all the details about the crimes. Is how long does it take you to write something like that?
To write an episode can take anywhere from, depending on what's happening, a couple days to several weeks, or maybe even a month. Just it so depends on time pressures and things like that. Ideally, one wants a month to write an episode. They're typically between 50 and 60 pages, but they're all dialogue with some prose for description. You go through a process of some shows are done in what's called a writer's room, where all the writers sit in a room and break the story, where they decide what the story is going to be about and what the act breaks are and what the beats of each act are, and they'll cobble it together in the room. SVU was not a room show because it was so clearly each episode was standalone, even though we carried personal stories through each year and throughout the 11 years I did the show. But so it was more of a show where the writer would make an outline and put it on a dry erase board, and then I would come in and they would pitch it to me, and then we'd make any adjustments, and they'd write the outline, and I'd make notes, and then they'd write the script, and I'd do notes and any rewriting. So that's what the showrunner, I was a showrunner on SVU for 11 years, and now I'm the showrunner of A Gifted Man, and I would write some episodes as well, but it takes a lot of time. As a showrunner, you're not only in charge of the scripts, but everything, so casting and editing and hiring all the different department heads and making sure that everything is running well and you're on budget and all of that, so you're the person in charge.
It sounds like a lot of stress.
It can be, but it's also a lot of fun to see your vision presented on television. Is pretty great.
I can imagine what a thrill it must be to have your own series. I mean, to write a series that's on network TV and that millions of people are going to see. I mean, I can imagine that's a thrill. But Kill Switch here, now, did you write this with the intent of turning it into a series or a movie? Was there that thought in the back of your head when you started writing this?
It actually started as a movie. We wrote it as an outline for a feature film. And we did a very detailed 35-page outline and just never got it together. Life interceded and SVU came on. You know, we were very involved in SVU, so we didn't ever write the script. And the outline languished for about 9 or 10 years in my bottom desk drawer at SVU, and my book agent, Lydia Wills, called one day and said, "Hey, do you have any medical thrillers? Because I'm a physician as well." So she knew that I was interested in medicine from many perspectives, being one and writing about medicine and medical mysteries. So I said, "It so happens we do." And I sent her the outline, and she came back and said, "Why don't you write it as a novel?" And John and I thought, "Wow, that would be interesting." So we wrote 3 chapters, and she asked us to write 2 more and sent it to various publishers. And we made a deal for a 3-book series and finished the first book. So now it has been optioned for a feature, and there's a movie producer attached named Kevin McCormick, who has just finished a movie with Sean Penn and Josh Brolin and Emma Stone, and has done many, many films dating back to Saturday Night Fever, and Katherine Heigl is attached to play Claire.
Oh, wow. How excellent.
So it started as a movie, became a novel, and, you know, hopefully it'll be a movie again, or maybe a TV series. It wouldn't be a TV series with Katherine Heigl, but she
doesn't do them anymore, I guess, after Grey's Anatomy.
She does movies now, so which is great. So
whatever they want,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, doing a TV show is a lot of work for these actors. I guess they you know,
it is a lot of work. Patrick Wilson, we're shooting right now. Patrick and Margot Martindale are doing a scene, and you know, they do the master, and then they do all the different coverages of the actors in the scene, so it can take hours to do one scene.
Didn't she? She just won an Emmy, didn't she, Margot?
She did, for Justified.
Well, tell her I say congratulations. That's wonderful.
I'm
very much fascinated by the entertainment industry. I mean, hearing all this just makes me so happy, because I love hearing this stuff. Now, is Patrick related to Luke Wilson, or are they not related?
No.
They're not related. I always thought they were brothers for some reason.
No, Luke
or
and
Owen
Wilson are.
I'm sorry?
They're brothers. Luke Wilson and Owen Wilson are brothers.
But Patrick's not related.
No.
All right. I saw him in, what was that movie with Kate Winslet he was in? It was so good. Little Children.
And Jennifer Connelly.
He's wonderful in that.
Yeah. So he's a fantastic actor. He's wonderful on Broadway, too. He was in the original Full Monty on Broadway in Oklahoma. He's been nominated for Tonys. And he has a great voice. And he's a great musician. He sings and plays the drums in an upcoming episode.
Oh, that's really cool. So you got a lot of exciting stuff coming up. Now, will the season you say is going to end in March, or it'll be on another time?
It'll end in March, and then we'll wait until May to find out what's going to happen in the future. But we're very hopeful.
Meanwhile, you're writing book two of the Kill Switch series. Now,
exactly.
Is it going to be called the Kill Switch series, or is it each one going to have a different name? I assume they're all going to.
Each one will have a different name.
So it's not a trilogy or anything.
Right. It's just a trilogy with Claire, so it'll have the word kill in it. It'll be kill something.
Oh, okay. So each one's going to have kill in it. That's really cool. Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
It'll be easy to find them.
Yes.
On the shelf. Now, had you ever thought about writing a book before? Obviously, you said it sat in your drawer for 9 years, so I guess it was in the back of your mind, someday I want to write a book.
Right. You know, I just always loved the idea of going to a bookstore and seeing a book that I had done, and it was like, you know, I've written 400 hours of television. I felt there must be a way for me to make a book out of my ideas. So I, you know, really grateful that I got the chance to do it.
Right. Now, and working with Jonathan, of course, I'm sure you're a good friend, so that made it even more fun, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
So there's never any of this fighting back and forth or anything. You get along really well, I assume.
Yes, definitely.
Now, what is the difference between an executive producer and just a regular producer? You always see these executive producer, line producer. I mean, what do they all do?
Right. Well, that's a good question. No. The executive producer depends, that's a credit that depends on a number of things. For instance, Jonathan Demme and Susanna Grant are the executive producers of our show.
Jonathan Demme?
Yes, he directed the pilot.
Oh, yeah. How cool is that?
Yeah, but they're not here on a day-to-day basis at all. They're off doing their movies, but they're given that title because they did the pilot. And then, so it's hard to know which executive producers are on the show and which ones are there because of the pilot and things like that. But typically there's one person who's an executive producer who's the showrunner. And so the showrunner is the person in charge of the show. And then the co-executive producers are typically writers, as are the supervising producers, producers, co-producers, story editors, executive story editors, and staff writers.
Well,
the people who are not writers in television are the line producers. So if a show says produced by, you'll see a credit that says produced by. For instance, in our show, it says produced by Elise Bazaller. She is our unit, what's called a unit production manager, and she is in charge of overseeing the whole show's production side. So she knows every detail of the budget, makes sure that everything works smoothly, signs all the checks, and if there's some problem, then she'll come to me, but I don't get involved in what she does unless there's some kind of big problem, and she's so fantastic that there hasn't been, so.
Right. Well, I'm going to have to check the show, and I'll have to wait till it comes out on DVD for the whole season so I can start from the beginning, because I hate starting in the middle of the season. You miss something when you do that. So I'll have to wait till it comes out on DVD. Now that I talk to you, I feel like I have to watch it. So, I'm curious to see how it is. I've seen the ads for it. I just haven't sat down and watched it on Friday nights. I miss that show Medium that used to be on. I used to watch that Friday nights. But I've got two other shows I watch on Friday, but I definitely will check it out for sure. Now, Claire Wonders is a forensic psychiatrist. So,
correct.
You write about a forensic psychiatrist. Do you know anything about psychiatry, or do you do research, or how does that work?
Both. I mean, I had to take psychiatry clerkships in medical school, and so I actually, you get trained in psychiatry as a medical student. So I did mine at McLean Hospital, which is this wonderful psychiatric institute, which is part of Harvard Medical School where I went. So I did my psych rotations, what are called rotations there. And then we definitely talked to forensic psychiatrists to get information.
Right. Now, did you ever come in contact with people who were... there's some really nasty characters in this book. Some of them,
yes.
who they start out nasty and aren't necessarily. But I mean, Claire. There's things that happen to Claire in this book, and I just feel so sorry for her. And
yes.
As we find out later on, not everything's what it seems at first.
Right.
But
right.
All I could think of was, oh my gosh, this poor woman. What has happened to this woman? And I'm finding myself getting so involved with Claire and so worried about what's happening to her. And, you know,
good.
Is she ever going to recover from this? You know?
I hope so. But I think she has to go through a few more things.
But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff on her plate in this book.
Yes, yeah. Well, the trajectory is this. You go through medical school for 4 years. So we said that Claire went to Harvard Medical School, and she finished 4 years, and then she did a residency in psychiatry. So what you typically do is 1 year in medicine, because psychiatry is so attached to medicine. You have to make sure that when a patient comes in and they say they're demented or they're psychotic, that it's not an organic cause. It's not because they've taken some poison or some drugs, or they have a tumor, or they have some other associated disease that's causing. You can even have in older people, if they have a bladder infection, they can seem demented, and you treat them and they get better. So you have to know medicine quite well. So you do a year of medicine or pediatrics first, and then you go into psychiatry. And then you spend 3 years in psychiatry and finish, and you can be a board-certified psychiatrist. Now, if you want to do forensic psychiatry, which is really focusing on the criminal mind, criminal behavior, and that arena, then you have to do what's called a fellowship and specialize within the field of psychiatry. Just like if someone wants to be a gastroenterologist or a nephrologist, they have to first do 3 years of internal medicine in their training as a resident, and then they go on and do a fellowship for 2 or 3 years in cardiology or whatever they want to specialize in.
Hmm.
So Claire already has had 4 years plus about 8 years of training in medicine as a medical student and a psychiatrist, and now she's in her fellowship. So it's a lot of school to become a specialist in any area of medicine.
Now, what's going to happen with Nick? I mean, of course, I think Nick is almost, you know, he almost takes over the book, the police guy who's going, you know,
right,
slowly losing his sight, which is a very interesting thing you put in there. I was pleased. It's something different, you know. It's not your standard, oh, the policeman's going to fall in love with the psychiatrist, and they're all going to live happy, all happily ever after, and, you know, I can see that coming a mile away, but that's not what's going to happen in this. But is he going to be back in book two?
Yes.
He will be back. We can't say anything more, I guess. But
well, I can say that he won't be doing beat cop work. He won't be out in the streets anymore because of his disability. But he'll definitely play a role in the next book.
Oh, I want to see him back because I want to see. I mean, you invest in a character when you read a book. You invest in a character, and you want to see more of that character. And I mean, that's what one of the thrills must be for you writing a book. You can really flesh out the characters. You know,
yes.
we can see what's happened to Claire, what's made her the way she is, and why she. I mean, she's neurotic, of course.
Yes.
Obviously.
But she's damaged in certain ways because of her past, and she has to free herself from the past in order to really get on with her life.
This is a character that I'm sure Katherine Heigl is going to have a lot of fun developing.
Yeah.
This character.
Yeah.
And just doing.
Yeah.
Like with Patrick Wilson in your Gifted Man show, I mean, I noticed on the commercials there's a lot of running around. He does a lot of running around at the show. So.
Well, that's because he's, it's interesting, he's a doctor straddling two worlds of medicine. He is a renowned neurosurgeon who's invented some interesting techniques, made a lot of money doing that, has his own clinic, which is a for-profit, insurance-only, don't come here unless you have insurance, but you will get the best treatment. You will have 1,000 thread sheets, the best chef, and the best surgery imaginable. And for a couple of reasons that are explained in the pilot, he ends up having to work 10 hours a week at a free clinic in Alphabet City. So It is down and dirty. It is a mess. It is crazy and wild and calamity. It's upstairs, downstairs. And he's in the upper reaches of medicine, the clouds. It's beautiful, you know, wonderful care at this high-tech clinic. And then he's down in the trenches, really good care as well, but with very little, you know, available, and no machines and all the gizmos and gadgets that he's used to having, not there. So he has to make the transition, and it's not easy for him to use his gifts in the clinica, where he's really needed as well. And he had started out as a family physician, a family medicine doctor, so he knows how to treat people with all kinds of ailments, but he then switched to neurosurgery because he didn't want to do that anymore. Now he's being called back to work in both worlds, and so we don't have to hit it on the head and talk about it so much. We just show it, and I think the audience gets that, there are two worlds of medicine here.
Right.
And, Americans, you know, have those who have access and those who don't.
Did you picture Patrick Wilson playing the lead role all the way through when you were writing it?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And he was attached from pretty much the beginning, so, which was great. It's his first television role, not counting Angels in America opposite Meryl Streep. And Pacino. Patrick was nominated for an Emmy for that. His only television before this show was doing the HBO miniseries.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, and he's got some range. I've seen him in Little Children, like I said, in some of the other movies.
He's definitely a terrific actor.
He's really got some ability to really bring a character to life. And isn't that what it's about? I mean, to watch a TV series, you have to like the characters at some point.
Oh, absolutely. I learned that early on with George Clooney. You know, he played a womanizer, and he was drunk, but he loved those kids, and he was a great pediatrician. So you could really identify with him and really fall in love with his character because he cared so much about those kids, even though he had a lot of flaws.
Right, exactly.
That makes for a great character.
Was Kill Switch a fun to write? Completely fun? Were you writing it as you were doing the Gift of Mantooing?
No, we were writing it as we were doing SVU.
Oh, you're still doing SVU. Do you miss SVU?
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I worked with Mariska and Chris Maloney, though he's no longer on the show. Ice-T, Belzer for...
Richard Belzer, you mean?
Yeah, Richard Belzer for 11 years.
What's he doing now, Richard Belzer?
He's still on SVU.
Oh, wow.
As is Ice-T. Chris Maloney just finished the Superman movie, and now he's doing True Blood, the series True Blood.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I didn't know he was going to be on that. I can't wait to...
He's playing some kind of vampire, so I'm sure...
Oh, that's going to be excellent. Because he was in Oz. He was so terrific
Correct.
In Oz.
Correct.
Oh, my
Correct.
Gosh. He was wonderful in that. Creepy yeah, in it.
Yeah, he was. He starred opposite Lee Tergesen, who actually is on A Gifted Man soon. So it's like I work with, you know, it's interesting. You get to work with all these great New York actors who've done really indelible roles.
Now, would you rather write a book or do the TV show? I mean, which, if you had to pick between the two,
would you pick?
Yeah.
Well, it's just they're very different. So, I mean, it depends. TV is easier to write, I think.
What makes it easier to write? I would have thought TV would be harder. But
no, TV is easy because you get to depend on all the department heads to, you know, playing their part. The director of cinematography, the editors, the actors, the wardrobe, makeup, hair, props. So you have a vision and you write it, but it has to be fulfilled by a very collaborative process and group of people. Whereas when you're writing a novel, I'm the wardrobe person. What is she going to wear? I don't decide what Rochelle Lefevre is going to wear. What, you know, I might say she looks good in blue, put her in blue. but that would be, you know, they might, they show me the wardrobe that they're going to put her in, but they've already made all the decisions. They give me like three choices, but I have to decide what is she going to wear, what, you know.
Oh, what, I see.
You know, in, what's Claire wearing? What's she thinking? How's she feeling? Very different.
I see. And that's when people read this book, they're going to care about Claire. I mean, Claire is really the main part of the book.
Right.
And then you really want, you really fall in love with her character. I mean, this is a character I could really, you know, see over and over again and get
good.
To know.
And I like that.
And, you know, the book, like I said, the book is just, I mean, it's just one of those books that goes zigzags. I guess that would be the biggest analogy. The zigzags from one thing to another. You're like, oh, where is it going now? You know, and trying to figure out where it's going to end up is a chore, to say the least.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, I got like halfway or three quarters of the way, and I thought, oh, I know the ending now. And I thought, oh, no, I don't. You know? It's fun that way, but you're so creative. I mean, you must have the most creative mind. I'd love to see what's in your mind right now.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, well, I have, I'm doing a documentary that I got funding by Sundance, which was great. That's going to come out, I hope, by the end of the year. And I have a social networking site that I'm working on called Action Lab that'll be out this year. And,
you ever get time for a vacation? It sounds like you're always working.
Yeah, I don't know about vacations, but work is vacation.
Wow, that's saying a lot. Don't you ever need time to yourself?
Sure, but you know I have that too, and I have, I guess also because my son is in college and my wife is very supportive, so you know I hide away, you know, so I can think.
Right,
but it's fun to be involved. You know, I'm a clinical professor of medicine, of preventive medicine at USC. So I have some projects there.
Good gosh, you are involved in everything.
Well,
I don't know how you do it all. How do you do it all?
I don't know.
You just do it, right? You just get up and
do
you...
it. I don't think about it. It's like, okay, what am I doing today? But it's exciting because I get to do things I'm passionate about.
Now, the second book, you've already started the second book, you said?
Oh, yeah.
I can hardly wait to read it. I may have to come over and steal it from your desk one of these
days. That's okay. Where are you located?
I'm in Pennsylvania, because, I mean, I love this series already. I'm looking forward to seeing what Claire's up to next. I hope she gets into more intense things in the second book.
Oh, she will. Don't
because
worry.
Now, what is your day like on the set of Gifted Man? I mean, how many hours a day do you spend there normally?
Well, I'm actually on the set right now as we're speaking. We have a set. We shoot completely in New York, and our set is in Brooklyn. So one of our writers just rode by on a scooter because he broke his foot, so he's going back and forth on a scooter.
Oh.
I'm in my office, so I can see him. And then downstairs are two sets, our upscale hospital set and our downscale clinic set. And we're on the upscale hospital set today with Patrick and Margo Martindale, and our guest star, Frances Fisher, Oscar-nominated for...
Oh, yeah. Clint Eastwood. Well, didn't
yep.
she? Yeah, Clint
yep.
Eastwood, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I got the
and
right
so
Frances.
And so she is here, and so I go down and I watch some of the takes and hang out with the director and see how things are going. Then I come back up here and I look at some cuts of some other shows. I spend most of my time in L.A., so that's where we write and edit the show, but I come here about once a month for a week just to see how things are going here.
And to promote your Kill Switch book, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Now, are you
going to
do the same thing when they film that movie? You're going to go to the set and supervise everything for that?
The movies are a little different.
Yeah.
The director is completely the king or queen of the movie set, whereas in TV, the writer-producers are the honchos.
Hmm. Yeah, it must be a different avenue for. Does Patrick Wilson ever say to you, "Oh, my character would never do this. I can't do this. You have to change this." Does that ever happen?
No, because we talk so much about the character with him. But I have a great experience with George Clooney early on ER, where he came to me and he said, "Neil, Doug Ross would never say this." And I said, "George, how do you know?" Because he said, "I'm Doug Ross," and I said, "Really? Well, I'm Doug Ross," and I pointed to my head and my heart here and here. And he said, he laughed, as only George can, and said, yeah. And I learned really about the collaborative process working with actors, that they're out there, you know, flapping in the wind. You know, they're the ones who the audience sees. They don't see me. They don't see me typing the script or making the words, you know, go onto the page. They see the actor, and we want them to think it's just naturally coming from the actor's mouths. That's why actors are actors. That's what they do. That's their craft.
Right.
But in reality, the actors are not making it up. They are saying lines that we have written. So I'm Olivia Benson and Odafin Tutuola and Elliot Stabler and Patrick's character Michael Holt and Margot's character Rita Perkins Hall and Eric LaSalle's character Peter Benton from ER and the character he plays on the R show, Emo, the psychiatrist. I'm Doug Ross and Carol Hathaway, Juliana Margulies' character, and Susan Lewis, Sherry Stringfield's character. I can't believe I can remember them all. They're so
yeah, you're, that's
they're
amazing.
Just, they're well, you know, I did ER for 7 years, and John Carter, that was Noah Wiley, and Jeannie Boulay, and that's Gloria Gloria's character. So that Ruben's character, that
right.
They're just, you know. You know, branded in my brain. And so we try to write them differently so that they're not all saying and sounding the same. And that comes from the writer, and the actor brings his physical, you know, self to the part, but they bring their quirks and characteristics and personality and vocal inflections and emotions and all those wonderful things to the words. But it starts with the words. And so it really is a collaborative process in this very deep way that's pretty interesting.
Right now, the voices we hear in the background now, are they actually filming right now, even as we speak?
No, can you hear voices?
I hear little voices in the background.
Huh. Wow, because it's pretty quiet here. Are you sure they're not where you are?
No, they're... Yeah, I hear a voice way in the back somewhere. I don't know.
I think it's like one of the writers, John Green, it might be, or Dan Truly, or Elise Bazala, or one of our producers. So they're huddling about you know, some issue. You know,
when you write the show, and when you, obviously when you wrote the book, I don't know if you thought of Katherine Heigl when you were writing this book that she would play the character. But do you think of actors right away when you write your TV show, when you write your book, all the time?
Yes. I mean, I thought I wrote the last episode of The Gifted Man this season, and I thought of the actress Tammy Blanchard to play Louise, a character with a heart transplant. From the very beginning, right when we were thinking of this character, and I worked with her on SVU, and I remember looking at the dailies and saying, gosh, she looks like Judy Garland, and the next thing I know, she's doing the Judy Garland miniseries with Judy Davis, and she won the Emmy for it.
Wow.
She's been on Broadway in Gypsy and How to Succeed in Business, so I thought of her for this part for particular reasons, that she's such an empathetic actress, and I thought, you know, I want the audience to feel for her. And so I thought of her, and we sent her the script, and she said she would do it.
Well,
and I've been really lucky. On SVU, we have the most Emmy wins, I think, for guest stars ever. We won five times.
One for Robin Williams, I take it.
No, Robin was nominated. I wrote that episode, actually. Robin was nominated.
Did?
The winners were Amanda Plummer, and then Mariska won.
Right.
And then Leslie Carroll, and then Cynthia Nixon. Ellen Burstyn, that was her trifecta, because she had already won a Tony and an Oscar, so she was very happy, and Anne Margaret.
Oh, that's so cool.
And Anne Margaret had been nominated for 2 Oscars, and so had Leslie Carroll for Lily and The L-Shaped Room, and Anne Margaret had been nominated for 2 Oscars, and Anne Margaret had been nominated for a number of Emmys and never had won, and she won for the first time two years ago for our show. But we've had many nominations, Angela Lansbury and Robin Williams and Martha Plimpton and Mare Winningham and
cool is that?
I can't believe I can remember, and Jane Alexander and
You're really good with names. I'm amazed. I mean, most men are, you forget names 5 minutes after they hear them.
you know, I love to work with the actors, and, you know, we've been very lucky to have these great actors work with us. So, you know, I've worked, you know, we had Jerry Lewis on SVU. Now,
Now, who do you picture playing Nick from the Killswitch book?
Gosh, I don't know. People have asked me that, and I don't know. That's a good question. Tom Hardy. You know, it's like, I'm not sure. It's a new actor has been doing stuff lately we've been talking about. But I'm not sure. It's an interesting part.
It is. And I'm trying to think who would be good, have the good range to play, you know, somebody who's going blind. And
could be Patrick.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think he'd do it?
I don't know.
I think you'd have to ask him.
I'll have to ask him, yeah.
But it's interesting, though, that you're writing this book and you're seeing the actors and actresses in your mind. I think that's interesting, that you know exactly what they look like.
Right.
And I'm assuming there'll be new characters in the second book.
Oh, yes. There's some really bad people.
Really?
In the next book.
You really like writing about bad people, don't you?
I do.
What is it about writing about bad people that is a thrill for you?
Well, they're so complicated, I think, because there's a reason that, you know, they do things they do often, because they've had bad childhoods or they've been through terrible situations. Whatever it is, it's just a challenge to... And it's fun to create these characters who are complex. I don't like evil characters, you know. They're just evil for no reason. But I do like complex characters.
Yeah, I mean, I assume they did... Hannibal Lecter, I'm sure, had a background. I never did see the beginning of that series. But, I mean, I'm sure they explain why he was like the way he is. But that's it. Once you understand the why in a book, it makes the book that much more fun to read, I think, because you want to see that motivation. Why is that person a serial killer? There's got to be a reason. They just don't start being a serial killer for no reason.
I agree.
Why are so many kids disappearing? I mean, there's so many children disappearing lately. It's like...
Terrible.
It's a terrible, horrible thing, and yet, you know, why do people do that? And is it something in their brain...
Yeah.
That's making these people do this. I mean, and how much do we blame them? How much do we blame it's just the way it is. I mean.
Well, you sound like our writers when we were putting together SVU, because we ask those questions all the time.
And it makes you think. I guess it's good to, it keeps your brain active. How long have you been doing all this writing? I mean, when did you start writing?
Well, I started writing on ER in 1994.
You don't have to say your age. I don't want to embarrass you if you're...
That's it. In 1994. And I wrote a little bit before that in 1989 when I was on China Beach.
Oh, wow. That's a show that... Oh, I love Dana Delaney. Oh,
yeah, I worked with Dana did SVU, but one episode, but I worked with her on China Beach. So that was the first show I did. And then I left L.A. to go to medical school back in Boston, and then I came back to do ER.
Right. I mean, Dana Delaney, I just think of some of her scenes from China Beach and 30-something, too. One of my favorite shows.
She's very... She can emote in a very real way that just captures your heart.
But in her new show, she's like really stoic too. She can't show much emotion. You know, she's angry, but she doesn't cry. You can't show the weakness. You just show that anger that toward the bad people, which I think is interesting. So she gets to show that side of it too.
Right.
Now, has Margot been on the show all season, The Gifted Man?
Yes. Oh yeah.
So she's not on. Just she must have died on Justified, I guess.
Oh, she did. Yeah, she had a bad death. Yeah.
But she's been on so many things. She's one of those people who are like, oh, I've seen her on a million different things.
Sure, I worked with her on SVU. She was in an episode where she was a bad foster mother to Elle Fanning and told her to set Connie Nielsen on fire.
Oh my God.
We laugh about it. It's not funny. It's like, Margot, remember? Oh, what you made me do, Neil. Oh.
Now, Connie Nielsen, is she the one that's in American Horror? Is that the
No, she's on Boss.
Oh, she's on Boss. Okay. I'm thinking of the woman that's...
But she was in that's Connie Britton.
Thank you.
Connie Nielsen was in Gladiator.
Okay. No relation to Bridget Nielsen or anything.
No.
there's so many with people with the same last names, right? Well, you think they're related, you know. I don't know. I have no idea how you keep everything straight.
I don't know either.
Now, do you have an idea for book three already? I mean, is all three books already planned out? So you already know you already know what's going to happen in book two and book three?
Yes, of course.
The whole book?
Well, trying, yeah.
But did you find while you were writing Kill Switch that things would come to you while you were writing it and you would add something to it? Or was it pretty much what you...
It was pretty much our outline, and then we really kind of finessed it in the last third of the book. And we thought of some new things to do.
It's interesting what you say. You have to set the scene. Every chapter, you have to describe things, and we need to see that whole picture in my mind of what's happening. So that I can see how that would be very painstaking. You've got to make sure everything sounds just right.
We tried
because the fans, you know, will notice everything. I'm sure you get a lot. You got a lot of letters on SVU. If somebody noticed anything wrong, they'd say, "Well, why did you do that? Why did you? I saw a camera in that scene or something."
Exactly.
Or so you're used to it by now, I'm sure.
We're used to everything. We did a show once about homeschooling with this wonderful actress named Diane Venora, and I got more email about that than anything we'd ever done. So.
Now, I think Gifted Men will be picked up. I really do. But do you have another idea for another show?
Oh yeah.
So you always have more ideas.
I try. Yeah.
But you seem to know what's gonna sell. I mean, what you can do on TV. I mean, you seem to have a good idea. I mean, obviously you've got a lot of experience, so you know what to write, what's going to be picked up, what people are going to be interested in.
Well, I'm lucky that, you know, I have a kind of an unusual history, because I was on two shows for 18 years, ER for 7 and SVU for 11.
Right.
And so I don't know, you know, most of my friends have been on, you know, 10, 8, you know, lots and lots of shows. And I've just been lucky not to have had to go from show to show, and so I'm hopeful that this one will be the same. But you never know; it's a crazy business.
It is. But it's interesting that I can hear the pride in your voice. I mean, and it's so nice to hear. I mean, you're really proud of what you've done, and you should be. I mean, you've done a lot of stuff that isn't easy to do. I mean, you must look back on it and you think, how did I do all that?
Yeah, I'm wondering myself.
and then to be able to call these actors up and say, let's have lunch or something. That would be so cool to be able to do that, you know. Call George Clooney. Are you able to call George Clooney and say, hello, George, how are you?
I have talked to George in the past. He's so busy, you know, it's just, you know, it's hard to get through. But, you know, I actually did see Mariska today at lunch. So that's, you know, it's like they are real people.
Right.
they are, you know, and with Mariska, I met her on ER because we created this character, Cynthia Hooper. She was Tony Edwards' girlfriend, and so I got to know her, and that was one of the reasons I left to go to SVU, and it was because Mariska was doing it, and I wanted to work with her again.
That's so cool. Just hearing you talk about the people you worked with and the... Obviously, the love you have for them and the respect you have for them, which is so important. I mean,
well, my favorite—I have been very lucky, and I do have a favorite, so I can tell you who my favorite is.
My favorite.
I mean, I love the actors I've worked with, and I've worked with, oh my gosh, so many Oscar-winning, Emmy-winning, just brilliant people. But I just was lucky. I always loved this one actor's work. And I sent her a script that we had written for her, and she hadn't done anything in a while, and she said yes, and I arranged for her to come to the United States from Paris, and we just hit it off and became really good friends, and she won the Emmy, and I mentioned her name before. Her name is Leslie Caron. She did An American in Paris.
Oh, right. Gigi.
And we just... And she's Gigi. And she did many films. This Lily... and she did a great movie called The L-Shaped Room, which she was nominated for an Oscar for. She was nominated for an Oscar for Lily as well. And worked with, you know, Gene Kelly, Fred Astaire, and Daddy Long Legs. She worked with Baryshnikov, and she worked with Nureyev. She's the only actress to dance with all four of them. Dancer, actress. And we just, for whatever reason in life, you hit it off with somebody. We became great friends. And when I go to Paris, I see her, and she comes here, and she got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. For some reason, Leslie's very,
it's hard to describe.
Down to earth.
Well, down to earth.
I was thinking, what's the right word to say?
Right.
Down to earth. And so she doesn't think that much about, a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Eh. But I said, no, Leslie, you need it. And she said, well, I think they offered me one in 1957, but I don't think I deserved it yet. So I said, well, how about now? And she said, well, yeah, maybe. So I went to them and applied for, you know, I don't know if your listeners know this, but you apply for stars. And I applied for a star for Leslie. And she got it. And they get lots and lots of applications for all these different people. Mariska's getting a star this year.
Oh, that's
as well.
So cool.
So I applied, and you go through a process, and you write all this stuff up, and Leslie got the star. And they put her star between Gene Kelly, whom she worked with on An American in Paris, and Louis Jourdain, who starred opposite Leslie in Gigi. So mm-hmm. It was just so great. And it was just a wonderful way to kind of cap this glorious career she's had. She's 80 years old, and she's amazing, in amazing shape, and still moves with grace and elegance, and still acts, and just did a Little Night Music in Paris. So that is a benefit of being a writer. You get to write for people. I'll also tell you one other quick story. There's another actress I just loved growing up, so I pitched on ER. I said we were talking about finding an actress to play Maura Tierney's mother, and I suggested Sally Field. And it turned out that Sally was available, and she said yes, and we were doing a show one night that I wrote where Sally and Maura were fighting with each other out in a rainstorm outside the ER, and they'd have to run out and yell at each other and then call cut, and then they'd have to go into their trailers, redress in clothes that had no that weren't wet, because the shot started inside and moved outside into the rain. We made it rain. So, and this was 1 a.m, and I'll never forget telling Sally that as a kid growing up, and she said, I know, you watched. I said, yeah, Gidget and the Flying Nun. And I said, you know, and as a writer, you think about whom you want to work with. And, you know, I thought, when I first became a writer, if only I could work with the actress who played Norma Rae, that would be so cool. And little did I know that I would work with her someday.
Oh, that is,
I mean, it's just, you just awesome. Never, you never know. I just was in Denver for my book, and I went to this great bookstore called The Tattered Cover.
Oh, yeah, it's very famous, yeah.
Greatest bookstores in the country. And four of my teachers came. And one of my teachers came, who was my chorus teacher in junior high, and he had a singing songs from the musical Carousel, and he also had a singing The Night They Invented Champagne from Gigi. And I told him, I said, you know, when I was a kid, I thought these songs were kind of corny and hokey. And little did I know that my career would take me to a place where I'd be working with Leslie, or I'd work with Shirley Jones or Shirley's kids. I worked with Patrick Cassidy, and I worked with, I know Sean Cassidy, but I worked with Patrick as an actor. I worked
I
with
what Shirley's thought, doing now.
Hmm. Shirley acts all the time. She looks great, and she did SVU, and I thought, gosh, you know, you're a kid sitting there singing these songs that you just never, ever dream that. I mean, maybe some kids dream of becoming actors, but I don't think you dream of becoming a Hollywood writer. Maybe some kids do, but I didn't. I came into it when I was a graduate student, but I thought back about, wow, how cool that I was singing these songs. Little did I know what an impact it would have on my life.
That is just so great. I mean, to hear you've been very blessed.
Very.
I mean, you must wake up thinking, I'm the luckiest man.
Yeah, I'm very lucky.
You love going to your job. You love work. You love writing. You love everything. You have a lot of people that love you, too. That's got to be a tremendous feeling.
So I'm very lucky, indeed. And just to work with, you know, everyone from the very famous, like Jerry Lewis or George Clooney, to new actors who people didn't know about, like Abigail Breslin, before she did.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Oh, yeah. We worked with Abigail when she was a real little kid, before she did Little Miss Sunshine. Or we worked with a young actress who's the star of Modern Family before anybody really knew who she was. Or we worked with Trisha Mara, who's now called Rooney Mara. We gave her her first job on SVU.
Really?
You know, she's in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Right.
So we found many young people and gave them their starts on SVU. Michael Pitt, who was on Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, yes, yes.
And been in many movies as well. So we worked with these young actors because I work with fantastic casting directors who really know talent.
Now, is there any TV actor you haven't worked with that you'd really like to?
Oh, many I haven't worked with, but I'd like to. Oh, that's a good
There's
question.
There's got to be something. Sorry, go ahead.
No, well, I'd like to work with Ernest Borgnine. He's like 94.
Right. You better get rolling on that one, Sam.
That'd be fun. Who else would I like to work with?
Well, I want to bet that Ernest Borgnine is going to live to be 100. He's amazing.
Probably.
He was at our bookstore a couple of years
ago. I wish I could have worked with Vivian Vance, but she was already gone before I really got into the business. Though, I did work with Nancy Culp, Miss Hathaway from the Beverly Hillbillies, in my first project, which was an after-school special, and it was her last appearance. So I did work with her. So that was really fun. She was such a sweetheart.
Well, you have a lot of stories. You're going to have to write a book someday and come back on the show and talk about your book.
Yeah, I have plenty of back behind-the-scenes stories that I won't share today.
Right. I'd love to hear them. You're just a fascinating man, and we should remind everybody, Kill Switch is out in all the bookstores now. It's from Kensington Books, and it's really going to grab you, and I'm telling you, you got to read it. Thank you so much, Neil.
Thank you. It's been really a pleasure.
It really is a pleasure to talk to you, and I thank you for taking time out for your busy season. And I'm crossing my fingers the Gifted Man's coming back next year.
Yeah, you and me both.
Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Take care.